The Greek, The Greek philosopher Aristotle said that the greatest of activities, the best of activities, are those that are most useless. This is because things that are, in a sense, these kind of activities are an end in themselves, that they exist for their own sake. Thus, perhaps watching a hockey game is more meaningful than going to get your hair cut, or cultivating a friendship is more valuable than making money. Because the game and the friendship are goods that are excellent in themselves, while getting a haircut or making money are at the service of something beyond themselves. And when we think about this now in light of our life as Christians, in a sense, when we are in the fullness of heaven, we will be in that place where these activities, in some ways, are the most useless. We're not creating anything. We will be in the very presence of God Himself. But while we're here on earth, perhaps the most useless activity of all, if we're thinking about this in the light of Aristotle, is the celebration of the Mass. And this is another way of saying that it's the most important thing that we do. There is no higher good than to rest in God, to honor Him for His kindness, to savor His sweetness, and to praise Him and worship Him. And so we could put it this way: the liturgy is a form of play. We play hockey, people dance, they paint, they play musical instruments, because it's good to do those things. And we play in the presence of the Lord for the same reason. Back in Genesis chapter 2, we see this expressed in a very particular way. Here is Adam in the Garden of Eden. And in a sense, the garden is a place of delight, a place where he is able to play. And we're told in this garden that he cultivates the soil. And later on in the Old Testament, the kind of words that are used for Adam cultivating the soil is the same words that are used when the priest is worshiping in the temple and leading in that worship. Adam, we hear, walked in easy fellowship with God in the cool of the evening, and he spoke to God as a friend. And this is an idea that gets to the heart of what the Bible is teaching us. We could say that the whole of the Bible begins in worship and it ends in worship. Here in Genesis chapter 2 is the worship of Adam and, of course, Eve, as she will be born. And then at the very end of the Bible, we have the book of Revelation, which shows us the whole extent of the worship of heaven. And what we understand is that the Mass, there is an anticipation of the worship of the book of Revelation. For consider the following. When St. John has a vision of the worship of heaven, what does he see? He sees priests. He sees candles. There's reading from sacred texts. There's gathering of thousands of people at prayer, prostrations, and gestures of praise. And then the appearance of the Lamb of God. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God 29 times. In other words, what does St. John see in the book of Revelation? He sees the Mass. Or we could put it this way: what we see when we gather for this Mass is a foreshadowing of the true Mass, which is the worship of heaven. Now let's think a little bit more about this idea of worship as play. In order to worship, we need to use our bodies. Think about it this way. You can have the hockey rink. You can have the piano ready to be played. You can have the canvas and the paints all set up and in place. But if there are no teams, if there's no one to play the piano, if there's no artist to work on the canvas, if there are no hammers hitting the strings, if there's no puck going towards the net, or paints being applied with brushes to the canvas, nothing will occur. And worship, you see, for us requires our bodies. Many people today will perhaps say the following: I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And what they in part mean by that is I have a sense of a relationship with God, but it doesn't require the use of my body in a certain organized way. As Roman Catholics, we would say we are both spiritual and we are religious. That just as in order to play the game, you need the ice with the lines and the places where the puck is to be played, so too we would say with worship. That worship is something that requires our bodies to gather in a certain place at a certain time. Exactly what we're doing when we come to Mass. But here's the thing I want to sort of extend to you now. One of the most beautiful words that we use to talk about worship is the word adoration. And this word comes from the Latin word adoratio, adoratio, which is made up of two words, ad ora. And what ad ora means is mouth to mouth. So when we think about adoration, when we think about true worship, this word adoration, adoratio, ad ora, mouth to mouth, speaks to us of a particular intimacy that we are to have with God. Now, with all of this in mind, listen again to the reading from the book of Deuteronomy, what is called the Shema. This is the great statement of Jewish faith. And listen to what we read there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. The Jewish people understood something of great importance. It is as we choose to worship God and put him first in our lives that what is then found at the beginning of this passage begins to make more sense. And let me read these words. So that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord, your God, all the days of your life, that your life may be long. Harvard University did an 85-year study on happiness. And this is what they discovered over the course of 85 years of study. It wasn't how much money people made. It wasn't how successful they were when it came to their middle years that most defined their happiness. What the Harvard study found is that what was most important to a sense of well-being was knowing that you belong to a community, knowing that you belong to a place that has a meaning beyond yourself. And in a sense, what the Harvard study discovered in the 20th and 21st centuries, the book of Deuteronomy said many centuries ago, that as we find ourselves truly in community, where we're able to worship the Lord with all of our being, then the days of our life can be long. That doesn't mean they're easy, but it means that they are meaningful. And so here's what I would want to leave us with today. The Mass is exactly what Aristotle said. In a sense, it's that which is useless, but therefore it is most meaningful. Because here in the Mass, our lives are ordered rightly to the Lord. But here's the problem. In a world like this, it is hard to worship attentively and meaningfully. A minute ago, I referred to the book of Revelation. If you've ever read the book of Revelation, you'll realize that it's a really hard read. And I think part of the reason it's so complicated and difficult to read is that the writer, St. John, on the one hand, has us seeing the worship of heaven, but at the same time, all hell is breaking loose on earth. And that's what it's like for us here below. We are trying to continue to grow in our worship of the Lord, the worship of heaven, while we continue to live here below in this world where, so to speak, all hell is breaking loose. And because of that, our worship can seem at times more like a chore than an expression of play. But if we take to heart today's readings, And if we hear something that Jesus adds to the reading as we hear it from the Gospel of Mark, he quotes the Shema, this scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. But there's something that he adds. He says, we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Deuteronomy says that as well. But Jesus adds a fourth dimension. He adds that we're to love the Lord with our mind. That's interesting. To love God with our mind. That's exactly what we do when we come to Mass. Because here we're invited to be mindful. To be mindful that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. We're to be mindful to the prayers. And I know that you are probably like me. At times you're distracted and you find your mind wandering. We all do. But what Jesus invites us to is to return to him, to cultivate this kind of mindfulness so that in our worship, in this act of adoration, when we intentionally bring our bodies to Jesus, we will grow more and more in allowing him to touch us. And let me end with this thought. Remember I said a minute ago that the word adoration means mouth to mouth? What happens at the climax of the Mass? You'll come forward and you will, with your mouth, take Jesus into yourself. That is a moment of deep intimacy, of deep connectedness. But here's the problem. We can sometimes approach the Eucharist and our Lord in the Eucharist casually. And we just take the Eucharist and we're on our way. But if we're mindful, we'll come to him this evening, knowing that this just is not a little Eucharistic piece of bread. This is the living Lord. This is the Eucharistic host. And in that place of being mindful before Jesus, we're then called by our Lord to leave the Mass so that we live in the world in relation to others where we are truly growing in loving and in caring. May we discover evermore that the most useless activity is the most important of all, the play of worship, the Holy Mass in which we participate. Not only today, but every day, because here heaven touches earth so that we can, through this act of worship, be in touch with heaven.